Welcome to the Manage Impact Development Training for Operations Manager. My name is Brian Wren, and I'm a knowledge engineer with Microsoft, focusing on System Center and Cloud Technologies. This lesson is titled Designing a Service Model. Now, what we're going to do in this lesson is we'll go back to the sample application that I showed a couple of lessons ago, and we'll design a service model for it. We'll design a set of classes and relationships to represent the application so that we can build monitoring for it later on. In the next lesson, we'll actually go into Visual Studio and build what we design here. Before we get into that, though, let's go through a couple of slides and just kind of talk about this general process that we're going to go through and get some basic rules that you can follow when you're designing out your own model. First off, these are really the set of questions that you're going to need to answer when you're defining an overall model for an application. First off, what are the different components of the application? And what are the properties of each? And we're thinking in terms of monitoring. How can I create a model that is really as simple as I can make it, just keeping with basic philosophies, keeping things as simple as we can, yet complex enough to really provide the type of monitoring that we require? Then once we've done that, how are those components related to one another? Once we've built that overall model, how are we going to find each component? And how are we going to populate all of those different properties? And so if you take these, really group these questions together, first we're going to define a set of classes, which really says what are the components of the application and the different properties. And then how are they related? That's going to be implemented in the relationships that we define, which we talked about in the last lesson. And the last are discoveries, and we'll talk about those a couple of lessons from now, but that basically what a discovery says is we have this set of classes and relationships and properties. What information, what process do we need to go through in order to inspect a particular computer to discover the different instances and populate those different properties that we've defined? Now, it would help if I could give a basic process to walk through, where I could just give you a step-by-step, first define this set of classes and next this set of classes. But it's really difficult to do that because of just the complete diversity in the different applications and devices and operating systems that we create Manage Impacts for. And so it's really difficult to just give one basic process that applies to all. So really, the different steps that I have up here really kind of take as a rule of thumb. This is really more of an in-general process to kind of walk through, at least to get most of the service model defined and give you some kind of a framework to go by, as opposed to just basically starting with a big blank whiteboard and starting to draw boxes on it. And this is basically the process that we're going to go through when we do our design in a couple of slides. First off, you want to think of what are the different roles of the application, different types of servers in it, for example. Then for each of those roles, what are the different components of each that we might think? We may, in many cases, we'll just keep the particular computer role, we'll be fine, and we'll talk about that in a bit. In other cases, though, we may actually have to break out individual components underneath one particular role in order to track its health separately, and we'll see an example of that in our sample. Once you've defined that kind of set of classes that represent the different components, what are the different health rollups that we might use? In other words, if instead of just monitoring the health state of each individual class, how might I want to roll those up and really to provide a health state and a set of monitoring for each of the kind of different areas of the application? And that many applications won't have any of these, and some will. We definitely will, and we'll show what I mean by that. And then you want to think of any dependencies between classes, where we might have to roll up health state between them, or where we might have dependencies on other management packs. And again, we'll see an example of that. And then application class, what I mean by that is really a distributed application. So is there a requirement for this application to roll up and provide one overall health state for the application as a whole? We'll actually do that in our application, and all applications won't have this. Think of something like SQL Server, which is the example that I've been continuing to use all along. We really don't have something that we would consider a SQL environment. We have various different SQL servers in the environment. Each one will identify the databases on them, but we really don't have any requirement to roll up and give one overall health state for all of the SQL servers in the environment together, so it doesn't use one. Another application, think of something like Exchange, though, where the different Exchange servers do work together as one mail environment. So in that case, it does use an overall application class. We will, in our sample application, we'll show what I mean. And then last, really, you want to think of groups. And is there any requirement to group together particular instances of classes? And really, what we'll typically look for there is just providing some functionality to the end user that they might use to do different reporting and overrides. So one of the basic questions that you're going to run into when you're going through an application is, should you create a class for a particular component? In other words, if we laid out all the different components of an application, the services, the just different components, databases, websites, the whole bit, do we want a class for each and every one of those? And typically the answer is obviously going to be no, because you'd end up with a bunch of complexity, a whole bunch of different classes and discoveries and the whole bit, without really any value for each one. And the basic concept you want to think of is, if you don't have a health state, you probably don't want a class. If you find you have a class defined, and as you're starting to think about your monitoring, you're thinking about your health states, and you realize that you really don't have any unique monitoring pointed at this class, and you really have no need to break out its health state separate, then you probably don't need a class for it. Again, let's go back to the example I've been using all along of SQL Server. Database engine, I have a health state for, and then I have databases underneath the database engine, and I want to track the health state separately for each of those databases. In that case, we do want a class for database. The alternative would say, let's just have a class created for the database engine, and if any particular database on that engine has a problem, we'll just go to a critical state on the database engine. But we won't break out the individual health state for the databases. In this class, we absolutely do, because we track the health state separately for each database. It's actually one of the really core functions of that management pack and one of the core features. Another application, though, you may think, well, application maybe has a couple of services that are running. Do I want a separate class for each of those services? And if all you're doing is saying, well, I just need to see if the service is running or not, I really want to look at the overall health state of the server, it doesn't provide me much value to break out that monitoring separate for each service, then you probably don't want one there. And again, we'll talk about that in the sample app that we do. I'll give some of the decision criteria that we use for our sample. Next question is the object volatile? And this also applies to the property, so that really should probably say, is the object or property volatile? And what I mean by that is it often created and then removed very frequently? Or for the property, does it change very frequently? And in Operations Manager, we typically are assuming that our classes and our properties are relatively static. Now, certainly, when new ones are created, we'll discover them. When an instance is removed, we'll remove it. When a property changes, we'll update the property, and we'll go into this in gory detail when we talk about discoveries. But in general, we don't want that something happening very, very often. Think of something like Exchange. Would I create a class for a mail? This is kind of an extreme example, and the answer is probably obvious. But mail items are constantly being created and removed. By the time that I actually was able to discover new ones, it's probably gone. It would be created, it might be removed, it might be sent off. And so in that case, far too volatile for us to want to create a class for it. In general, you want to think of something that is created, stays around either indefinitely or for a long period of time. Again, think of databases. We're not constantly creating databases and automatically having them come up and then be removed. Usually when we create a database, it's there for a long period of time. If you go back to my database example, though, that I've been using all along, databases are relatively static. We can absolutely create a new one, and it will be discovered, but usually when we create a database, it stays around for a fairly long period of time, if not indefinite. They're not constantly coming up and being removed. As far as the property being volatile, this one we actually run into a bit more. Usually the object being volatile is not too difficult for us to give the concept for, but properties is one that I absolutely see done fairly frequently. And take something, for instance, and let's just follow our database example. Think of if I stored free space on a database. That's something that's changing very frequently. Almost every time I perform discovery, and usually for databases, I think the discovery interval is about every 4 hours. We'll go out and we'll search for new databases. Chances are just about every single time we perform discovery, we're going to find that that property changed, which is really not what we want to do. Properties and operations manager are designed to be relatively static. They change fairly infrequently. It, not only providing a lot of churn and overhead and just really kind of breaking some of our basic concepts, that's information that we really want stored as performance data. So I could do graphing on it, I could look at trending. Properties on a class really are not available to use in that manner. Properties are used for creating groups, for displaying in a state view, for using that. We really can't use them as performance data. If you think of those as the database size, that is something that we store in a property. Now, database size changes. If we have autogrow set on when the database fills, it'll increase its size. We may manually increase its size, but it's not something that's done very frequently, multiple times a day. We certainly would expect most of the time that we perform discovery, that property is going to be the same as the last time. If you think most of the time that discovery is performed, this property will change, then chances are you don't want that property. The other thing you want to think of is just how many instances. Best example I usually have of this is thinking about DNS. For a DNS service, I might create a class for a DNS record. But think of what the state view would look like for that. Hundreds, if not thousands, of different records in a state view would just be unmanageable. Lots of overhead and really not much value at all for the administrator. Instead, DNS just creates a zone, a class for a zone, and then any monitoring is pointed at that. So if there's a bad record within that zone, we show the zone as unhealthy. We'll create an alert that identifies the record that has the problem, but we're not going to track individual state for all those different records because it's just too many instances. It doesn't make sense. The last point there is one that might be a little bit confusing, but I think is one that I can explain, which is, could this information just be stored as a property instead of creating a separate class? And a good example of that, if we think of the MSMQ management pack, which I mentioned before, a queue in MSMQ can be either public or private. So one strategy might be to create a class for public queues and a class for private queues. But if you look at the monitoring in that, there's really not any unique monitoring that we perform for public and private queues. They're really monitored in the same way. And so usually by creating a separate class, then we can target different sets of monitors and rules against them. Since we're not doing that, there's really no value in breaking those out into separate classes. But there is some value, certainly, in identifying whether a class is public or private. And a user might want to create some overrides based on that, create a report, create a view based on their public class or their private classes. So instead, the strategy that was used in that management pack is to just create a queue class and then have a property on it identifying whether it's public or private. And so in that way is what I mean. Could this information, does it make sense to create a separate class to represent these differences, or can I just store that as a property on the single class? So let's have a look at the sample application that we're going to be using throughout the rest of our lessons. Basically, what we'll do is introduce the sample app here, and then we'll go about creating a set of classes for this, designing a model to represent the application. And then, of course, through the other lessons that we'll be going through, we'll build those classes, we'll build discoveries for them, and build monitoring and the whole bit. So this application is going to serve us through the next several lessons. Now, if you've ever been to any of the trainings that I've done or presentations I've done at conferences over the years, this application should look fairly familiar to you. It's one that we've evolved over the last few years as a sample to build sample management packs and monitoring against. And the idea here is to have a fairly simple application that represents some interesting concepts, but where we can focus on the management pack itself as opposed to the application. Many times you'll spend a significant amount of time just setting up the sample application itself before you can even get on to monitoring it, or you may need some special environment to handle this thing. In this case, this application does not exist. We'll basically simulate it with some registry settings, some folders and dummy text files that we'll create on disk. We'll use some existing services to represent the services for the application. And it really is something very simple, We can get going very quickly, any environment, just a couple of servers, and anybody can create the elements that we're going to be discovering. And the manager pack, of course, doesn't know the difference. So the idea is something quick and simple, yet represents some very interesting and even challenging concepts that we can then focus on our management pack. So the idea here is, if you think of kind of a retail store concept. So I have a central data center with some components back there, and then I have a set of stores. In this case, I'm just showing two, but of course, we might think, you know, could be 100, could be 1,000 stores out there. And the idea is I've got each of my stores has a set of clients, probably several clients, that connect to a store server. So orders are taken on the clients. These could be cash registers or some basically where an employee at the store can place an order. Those are written up to a service on the store server, receives the orders from the clients, and then pushes them up to a central server in the central data center. And so, of course, all one or more of these servers at the stores are all pushing up to these central servers in the data center. Now, the central server there in the data center, we basically have two different services that could be running on these. We have one or more services that are receiving the connections from the store servers that basically they're connecting to and then sending their orders through. And then we have another service that's actually picking those orders up from local disk, doing processing on them, and then pushing them into a database. And we maintain a queue. As the orders come in from the stores, they may be coming in faster than they can be processed. And so we're maintaining a separate queue for each of those stores. And of course, as I mentioned before, we'll have a way that we're going to represent where we can kind of simulate those queues. And I'll talk about that later when we get to that point. But basically, while we have a central server and we have two of these services, they don't necessarily need to be installed together. So I might have one server that has both the receiver and the processor on it, or I may have multiple receivers and one processor. So these don't necessarily need to be installed together, but they're both what I would consider components of one of our central servers. Now, of course, those are written off to a database running in SQL, standard SQL server running a database there. And I also have an application server, and you can see by the icon there, my application server is running on Linux. And so this application server accesses the database in SQL and does some batch processing against it. So this will allow us to do some monitoring of Linux and monitor some processes and some events over there. In addition to all that, I have a website. Okay, and this basically external customers can connect into my website, look up information about their account, they can place orders, and all that connects directly and pushes into the database. So this application, again, completely fake, and as we go through, I'll provide more details, I'll show how we're going to simulate these different components, I'll talk about some details of how we're going to do our discoveries, what properties we're going to have to collect. Right now, it's just really high-level overview. This represents the application, and this really is most of the information that I'm going to need in order to build a set of classes so that I can model this application. So let's go ahead and do that. So if we take a step back and look, you know, how do I build a model to represent this application overall? And if we start, let's think of the unique components for the app and think of the different servers that I've got here. First, let's have a look at the store. Now in the store, as I said, for each store, I've got one or more servers sitting in the store, and I have multiple store clients. So I'm going to go ahead and create a class for each of those, and I'm going to base those on Windows Computer Role. Remember, Windows Computer Role is hosted by Windows Computer and will roll up the health. So the store server, I've got a service there that receives from the clients. I may be generating some events. So any of the monitoring that I need to perform for that server, I can target at that class. And of course, the same thing for all the clients. Maybe we have a local application that runs on there, may generate events if there are problems, possibly even peripherals that are connected to it. And so any of that monitoring, I can target the client. I can measure the health of each individual one. So that should be good for the stores. Now I moved to my central location. Remember I mentioned I have this central server, but there are two different components of that. It's got a receiver and it's got a processor. Now in this case, I said that each of those services could be installed together, but they also can be installed separate. If every single central server had both of those components installed, I could probably get away with just one class that represents that. I could have one class and target a service, say a monitor for each of the two services against that. Any of the events that those services generated, I could collect those there and target at that one class. There would be no reason to break out that complexity. In this case, though, because they may not be installed together, I'd really like to look at those separately. If they are in the same box together, I can look at them that way. And if they're separate, I'll just discover the component that's there. In this sense, you can kind of think of the way that SQL is modeled, where in a SQL server, I may have a database engine, I may have reporting services, I may have integration services, I may have one of those, I may have all of those. So those, if you look at the SQL management pack, those are separate classes as opposed to just having one SQL Server class. And so that's something similar that we're doing here. The next one I'm going to look at is that application server. Now that runs on Unix or Linux, and so I'm going to use Unix computer role, which really applies to both Unix and Linux. Functional equivalent of Windows computer role, rolls up to the Unix computer, and rolls up health to the Unix computers and is hosted by it. So if we look at that set of classes there, that really represents the unique different servers, and that's a good place to start, for our application. I haven't touched web servers yet, I haven't touched SQL yet, and if we think there's really nothing special I'm going to do there, we're already discovering databases with our SQL management pack, they're already being monitored, same thing with the websites, so I'm going to hold off on those for a moment. There's really no unique monitoring I need to do there. We would like to include them in our model though, and I'll get to that in a moment. The other component that I need to think about, remember when I mentioned that central server, I said that we're going to maintain a queue for each store. Basically, as the orders come in, they're going to be written to a queue, and then the central processor will pick up the orders, process them, and write them to the database. Now, I don't necessarily need a class to represent the queues. I could just target any, if there was an error processing a particular order or something like that, that could absolutely be targeted our central processor. But in this case, I would like to maintain a separate health for each of the queues. I might like, in this case, what we'll end up monitoring is the length of the queues. So maybe we're having a problem with processing the orders from a particular store, and we see those orders stacking up. And so if I want to maintain a separate health for each of the queues, I'm going to need a class to represent them. So in this case, I'm going to create a store queue class. This will not be based on Windows computer role because I don't want it to roll up straight to computer. Instead, I'm going to have it hosted by the central processor. And basically what I'm saying here is everywhere I have a central processor, I'm going to have the queues stored locally. I can't have a queue on a server that does not have the central processor service. And that's just how this particular application is architected. If the application were architected different, I might have to model this differently. Because remember, if the central processor hosts the store queues, I cannot have a queue without the processor. So those two are going to live together. Now, since it's hosted by central processor, I need to base it on Windows application component. Remember, application component is an unhosted class, which means I can create my own hosting relationship. Okay, and so we'll actually create that relationship when we actually build this model. So this represents, really, if you think, these are the targets now for all of the custom monitoring that I'm going to need, right? I've got all the unique components of my application. We're going to have to discover all these. We're going to go through a variety of different monitoring scenarios for all of these. But this really isn't the end of our overall model, because there's also some health roll-up that I'd like to do. If we think right now I could be done, I could have a state view for each of these, but if I wanted to do any reporting on this, or if I wanted to provide kind of an overall look at the application, I really don't have that. I have a whole lot of state views that we would have to basically dig through to see if we had any unhealthy states. So let's start by creating an overall class to represent the application itself. And I'm just going to create an application class. This is based on system service. Remember, system service is the base class for distributed applications. So when I do that, this is going to show up in the Ops console under distributed applications. I'm going to see my stores application there. And that will have a containment relationship with all of my different components. So what's going to happen if I get a red state, if I get any errors there, that health is going to roll up, and I can look at that one distributed application. I can look at a red state there, know that I have some error. I can open up my health explorer for the application, and I can drill right down to the component that has some error state in it. I can do an SLA against the application. I could go to my executive level reporting and report on my total availability for the stores application. So this would be very useful, right? And we could absolutely build this. But let's go a little further. Let's look and say, you know, the way I show the application there, I've got some components in the central data center, got some components out there at the stores. And if I look at my support teams, so, you know, I've really got a support team that focuses on the data centers and a separate one that focuses on the stores. And so if we look at the application, we see, hey, we've got a red state, we've got to drill down. Then we say, oh, well, that's out at some store location. Maybe a store server is in error. My central support people really don't care about that. That to them, that would be a false alarm because they're only interested in the central location. So it makes sense for us to create some health rollups where we can roll up the health of the components in the stores and in our central location. So I'm going to create a central class and a stores class. These will be based on system group. Now these are singletons, meaning I don't have to discover them. There's one and only one instance. And I would make them, I would basically have the application class contain those health rollups. Since I've got that containment relationship, I can basically remove the rollup straight up to the application class and instead do containments with these health rollups. So now, let's say I get an error, say, in one of my store queues. That error state would roll up to the central processor, which would roll up to central, and then, of course, the application. So my central group could simply be looking at that one overall health state for the central data center. They could see a red there. Of course, the stores would be nice and green, so that support group wouldn't be exposed to it. I could run an SLA showing the total availability of the central components separate from the store components, right? And so this model really makes sense. That really adds, without a lot of complexity, I'm not going to need to do any monitoring targeted at that other than just some health rollups, but it adds really a significant amount of value to my end users and being able to really see this application in a way that's very useful to them. But let's say even take this another step. Now, if you look at my stores over here, you know, I really like to report on a health for each individual store. You know, maybe I create a dashboard that goes in a SharePoint component, for example, that's provided out to my individual store. So see, a manager at a store can look at and see one overall health for the components at their location. So if I'm, say, a manager in New York, I don't care necessarily that there's a problem with the server in Los Angeles. So I would like to see an overall health rollup for the individual stores. For that, I'm going to create a store class. Now, this is not a singleton because I'm going to need to discover an instance for each store. So I'm going to base that on system application component, which is an unhosted class that I can discover multiple instances of. And I'm going to move my containment relationships to look like that, where basically I have this overall stores, which is basically a group that contains all of the different stores. Contained within that is an instance for each store. So it's a little bit confusing. I have a stores plural and a store singular, but I don't think that'll confuse us too much. And then each of the individual store classes will contain just the servers and clients located in that store. So now I can create a nice state view that shows the individual. I can have a list of all the stores, shows a nice green or red next to them that allows me to drill down if I have an error there. I can do SLAs against them. And so this, again, really adds some value. So this really is a very nice model for those for the components specific to the application. But now let's have a look at, I've got databases and web servers. Now in this case, I just have one database running on SQL. The application is totally dependent on it. If that database has a problem, it's certainly our application is down. We're having, we should consider that an error state. But I don't have to do any unique monitoring against it. The SQL Management Pack is already monitoring that thing. I have DBAs in my organization that are intimately familiar with that Management Pack. They're watching for errors. So the only thing I need to do is basically include that database in my overall model, just so I can roll up its health. So I'm going to add a containment relationship. I show SQL database there in a different color because that's basically an existing class that's already exists in the SQL Management Pack. What we're going to do is basically take a dependency on the SQL Management Pack for our Management Pack. We're just going to need to identify which database goes with our application. We'll do that when we get into our discoveries. And let's create a containment. So again, no new monitoring, but I at least want to include its health in my overall model. Same thing that I want to do with websites. So I have web servers out there. They're already being managed by the IIS Management Pack. I have a web support team that's making sure that's healthy. I just need to know which websites are mine. Now, in this case of SQL, it's just one database. The websites, though, there are multiple. You know, it's more of a web farm scenario. I have multiple sites that work together to support my application. And so if I think, what would this model look like? I'd basically have my, you know, one or two central receivers, I'd have my application server, and then I'd have a sprinkling of websites across there. So it really makes more sense for me to do something like this, where I'm going to create a group. In this case, I'm going to create an instance group. If I use instance group for my websites, this is going to show up in the operations console under the groups pane. And I'm basically just saying here, just include these particular websites that serve my stores application. We'll of course talk about the way that we actually populate that group. We'll do that when we talk about discoveries next. And so this really is the final model. And this represents new classes that we're going to create, we're going to have to discover, we're going to create these health rollups, we'll populate the health rollups, and we'll create all those containment relationships, and we're going to do all that in subsequent lessons. And so this model that we're looking at here is actually going to serve us for several lessons where we're going to create these classes, we're going to create the relationships, we're going to create the discoveries. We'll actually view a diagram view that looks very similar to the picture that we're looking at here. And of course, then we'll build monitoring and we'll watch all the health rollups work. So this concludes this lesson, and I'd obviously invite you to move on to the next one where we'll actually build the model that we just showed.